and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, the Hagman Show from Friday night went well. Me and Dad hosted it for the Hagmans while they were out of town. That was a blast on Friday night. Had a couple little technical difficulties at the beginning and throughout, but we had everything rolling pretty good by about halfway through. So, that was a blast. Check it out if you guys haven't had a chance to hear it yet. Great weather down here in Florida. Dad's broadcasting from Georgia right now. How are you doing up there, Dad?
Absolutely wonderful, Austin. The weather here is beautiful. It's about probably about 45, 50 degrees this morning, and it's just been pretty all day. It's probably in the mid-70s right now with clear blue skies and no chemtrails. How about you down there?
Yeah, actually, the chemtrails have been non-existent down here for about the last 3 days. We had that weather come in, a little bit of rain the end of last week, and cleaned it up real nice, cooled it down some, too. Actually, it was in the 60s on Saturday morning when I went and got up. No chemtrails at all for the last 3 days, which has been very, very exciting for us down here. But I'm glad you're not getting any either, but that's always nice when we're not getting sprayed from above by airplanes.
It is awesome. It always is. By the way, pulled some pretty good articles on zinc. You know, I've been taking zinc for, 37 years now, ever since I got involved in the health business as a biochemist back in 1981 when we started Health Masters. And I've been taking between 50 and 100 milligrams of zinc my entire life since I started that I think I was 25 years old. And I virtually have zero gray hair and I have like no missing hair. And I want to kind of mention that to you guys. Zinc is one of the most important minerals you can take to keep your hair from turning gray. And also the B vitamins are really important, the activated B, methylated B vitamins. But let me give you a little bit of information on zinc because it does a bunch of other stuff too as fertility. But it says zinc is an essential trace mineral, which means we don't need very much of it, but the little we do need, we cannot live without. Every cell in the human body contains zinc, and it is essential to most biochemical processes. Our bodies cannot produce healthy cells, manufacture and regulate hormones, or absorb a few other important nutrients without zinc. A disruption of any of these important processes can and probably will result in hair loss. But alopecia, hair loss, is among the most benign consequences of zinc deficiency. To reiterate, our bodies cannot absorb certain nutrients without zinc. However, excess zinc can disrupt the absorption of nutrients that we need to maintain a healthy foot of hair. Iron is a good example. Magnesium is another. Excessive zinc also increases testosterone production. Now, I'm going to say that one more time because you guys need to hear that. Excess zinc increases testosterone production. Now, I like testosterone production. That's what you need to have as a healthy alpha male. Plus, remember, it's almost impossible to have viable sperm as a guy without having sufficient quantities of zinc in your diet, either through supplementation or through making sure you get it in through dietary supplements or through dietary needs as far as eating high foods that are high in zinc. Guys, it's really important that you get zinc all the time. I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people who've had problems with infertility. We put them on a zinc supplement, and we also put them on vitamin E, and invariably their sperm count goes through the roof, the mobility of the sperm goes through the roof, and their wives end up getting pregnant. So it works very well if you're trying to get pregnant, and if you're trying not to lose your hair, and your hair is trying not to basically, fall out. So zinc's critical. So I take between, like I said, 50 to 100 milligrams a day of zinc every single day in my diet, and I find it's one of my core products as an alpha male that I have to have because it really helps to maintain the testosterone levels in my body. Again, something very important I want to share with you guys today. Also, what do you think about that?
No, zinc is super, super critical, man. I'm glad you brought it up. There's a lot of people that don't realize the importance of it. That's why we have it in our Ultimate Multiple, is our base supplement in there. And then we also carry it even separately as our zinc glycinate for people that want to take additional amounts of it. But no, zinc's very, very important, all those things you just mentioned. Also, too, in other news, this is kind of strange. I saw it today. It was actually the end of last week. The Port Arthur Refinery in Texas, which is North America's largest oil refinery, as of last week, Saudi Arabia controls 100% of it. With the stroke of a pen, Saudi's state-owned oil giant, Aramco, took on 100% ownership of the port, cementing its access to the lucrative U.S. energy market at a critical time. Industry experts said this week's deal as their latest power play before Leeds' highly anticipated IPO next year. This is kind of wild that they did this. I don't really know why they need to control so much oil. Those guys already have a ton of stuff over in the Middle East, but I guess, you know, with Saudi Arabia being our huge Middle Eastern ally, Qatar and all that, I guess we've, of course, encouraged this type of behavior. I don't know, Dad. What do you think about that?
Well, this is one of the Rockefeller things that he did, and I it's very, very smart, because he said he didn't care if he owned any oil wells. He didn't care. He just wanted to own all the refineries. And that's what he did. That's when he set up Standard Oil and Standard Oil Trust. He pretty much owned all the refineries for oil in the United States. And when he did that, he was able to control production, control the amount of oil he would release through the refineries, which allowed him to control pricings, which set up a giant, giant monopoly for Standard Oil, which is why the government had to come in and break it up. And break it up into a bunch of subsidiary corporations, which made them even wealthier when the government did that. Now, one of the other things that a lot of people don't realize that Rockefeller did, he really, really, really pushed for no alcohol to be used in the United States. He really pushed for prohibition. And the reason he did this is a lot of the cars had dual fuel systems. They'd run on alcohol or they'd run on gasoline. And so this is how Henry Ford was making all of his vehicles. And Rockefeller didn't like that, because the people had stills set up in their backyards all over in the country. The farmers had stills. They were making corn alcohol, grain alcohol, whatever they could make. And you could actually stop by the local farmer and you could pick up a gallon of basically spirits or alcohol, 100 proof, and pour it in your car, and your car would run great. I mean, it loved it. I mean, high octane. And so the people could actually either use oil or use the gasoline product, or they could use alcohol. Well, Rockefeller again knew that this wasn't going to be okay. So he pushed extremely hard to stop to force prohibition on the United States. And when he did that, when no one could produce alcohol any longer, as far as from, you know, stills out in the country, the cars that used the alcohol became obsolete, because there was no reason to have a dual fuel car. And after 10 or 12 years of no one producing alcohol and the ATF running around seizing people's farms, et cetera, and stills up in the mountains with moonshine, they basically completely crushed the alcohol.
Okay, I guess I'm still live. Todd just chimed in. I don't know, we lost Dad's connection. May have lost some up there in Georgia. But anyways, I'll take it from here then. Also, too, another health article is kind of strange. We have this going on, and I talked about this a couple months ago, but it's actually starting to become into a real thing now. The Silicon Valley startup Memphis Meats, which is the first lab-grown meat technically for production, they said they have successfully made the world's first lab-grown chicken strips, as well as duck and beef, using animal cells. Last month, the company announced they created the world's first chicken strip from animal cells following their animal-free meatball debut in 2016. Lab-grown beef was previously developed in 2012 by a group of Dutch scientists. They said, "We're taking a number of animal cells, giving them clean and nutritious food, and then we watch them grow into a muscle. We harvest that muscle and then cook it. The whole process from start to finish takes about 4 to 6 weeks." And Beyond Meat has also caught the eye of big investors like Bill Gates, which, of course, you know, he likes to dabble in a lot of this stuff, and the world's biggest meat producer, Tyson Foods. Now, I don't know if anybody really wants to go eat lab-grown meat. I have a feeling this is going to be another thing that's going to be used to try and change our DNA, the form of like epigenetics, like that is talked about with the Roundup toxicity and the GMO foods and everything else that they're trying to force us to eat all the time. This is an issue, guys. Whenever you start having these scientific lab-grown food, the GMOs that they're building, lab-grown chicken strips now, this is getting very odd. And they say, you know, it's to produce more food, it's to help with this, it's to help with that. Well, the crazy part about it is they're saying in this article that production costs right now currently runs around $6,000 per pound of meat, which is down from a year ago, which was $18,000 per pound of meat. They said it still needs a lot of work to get down to the average cost of $4 a pound. This whole thing's weird, guys, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just weird. So I don't know what it's all about. I'm just reporting on it because it's strange. But there's definitely something very odd going on with all this. Also, too, this is kind of strange. In Florida, footage from a military drone was accidentally streamed on the internet at the end of last week. The drone was over the Florida coast. It was a Predator drone. They've confirmed now by watching it. It was accidentally streamed on the internet. Nobody knows who leaked it. It appears that the U.S. government accidentally streamed it, and the video shows recordings a couple thousand feet above northwest Florida over the coast with the camera aimed at random civilian boaters. Professional experts that have worked in this and retired military have deduced that the footage came from a Predator drone, which is primarily used by the Air Force and CIA. It's very, very odd they're doing this. You know, obviously this is a Predator drone. This is a war drone. This isn't the normal, you know, just kind of flying around seeing what's going on. The individual that looked at it said the footage appears to show civilian boats and people on the water vehicles. You end up watching jet skiers via U.S. governmental aerial video feed. Apparently, the U.S. Air Force is using fishing boats and vacationers as simulated enemy dummy targets in the feed. FMV is what it was referred to as military language for full motion video, which unmanned aerial vehicles such as Predator and Reaper drones shoot in war zones, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia. Obviously, this footage is usually done before a missile is fired or something is launched on a suspected terrorist. Now, they don't think that it was armed or anything like that, but right now nobody has said anything about that, and nobody is basically refuting it, so we don't actually know if it was armed. I highly doubt it was. I would at least like to think it wasn't armed, a Reaper Predator drone over the state of Florida just flying around. But this is kind of weird that that got leaked out there. Obviously, you know, they fly these things out of Air Force bases sometimes to test them out. I mean, they are drones. But again, you know, little weird that it got leaked the way it did and the fact that it was a Predator. But again, that's just something we're going to have to look into and, you know, keep an eye on it, see what's going on with that. Also, in other news with the vaccines, this is odd. The CDC claims the shingles vaccine is safe, but a letter to the FDA wrote to Merck paints a different picture. You guys know I've talked about multiple lawsuits against Merck over the damage from the shingles vaccine. The Zostavax vaccine is recommended for every adult 50 years of age or older in the Merck TV app. Yet the CDC says people 60 years of age or older should get the shingles vaccine. On the CDC's website, it also states the shingles vaccine is safe. No serious problems have been identified with the shingles vaccine. Lie. That's what it says on the website.
That's fair.
Hey, are you back live with me, bud?
I'm back. I'm sorry. Guys, please forgive me when I'm on these little short vacation trips, whatever you want to call them. I do my best to get hooked up, and we checked it an hour beforehand, and it just kind of dropped the signal on us.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're back. Anyways, let me back to this real quick. Despite the CDC claiming that the shingles vaccine carries no risk, there's actually a letter from the FDA written to Merck in February 2016 telling them blatantly that they need to add eye disorders and immunosuppressive therapy issues to their product information on the box with the shingles vaccine. A physician in San Francisco, Dr. Stoller, said what concerns is the way this vaccine is being sold to the public, especially with regard to what Merck said about it in their product information sheet. The connection between the live virus chickenpox vaccine, now universally recommended for every child, and the shingles in the adult population, which Merck claimed will affect 1 in 3 adults in their lifetime, is troubling considering the fact we've seen a lot of side effects from these, and they're refusing to publish any of that, yet now we have a written letter from the FDA to Merck stating that they have to add eye disorders to the warning list with that vaccine. Dad, every time I turn around, this vaccine thing just is a nastier and nastier mud hole to dig in. You know, I was driving out to Rancho, took the family out to go ride on the side-by-side on Saturday, and there's a billboard, big billboard in Lakeland now, and it says, "No vaccines, no kisses." And it shows a little photo of a baby with like a sad face on it. And it looks like it was paid for by the local Lakeland Regional Hospital. And basically what it's saying is if your child isn't vaccinated, then they basically need to be excommunicated and nobody needs to be able to touch them or have contact with them. That's what they're implying with it when you look at it. You can tell by all the propaganda with the billboard. But I thought that was pretty wild that now they're actually starting to put garbage like that up on billboards to try to force the population, literally force us into giving in and saying, well, I don't want to be, I don't have issues with my kid. I don't want them to be awkward. I don't want to have, anybody look at me weird about it. So I'll just go ahead and, I'll give in, I'll capitulate, and I'll vaccinate my child. It makes me almost want to start putting vaccine billboards up, anti-vaccine billboards up, with the number of kids that have had the unbelievably horrible side effects, including death and autism, up on a billboard and blast that so people can actually get a secondary viewpoint of vaccines instead of this absolute lie from the big pharma and big vaccine manufacturers that are paying to put this stuff on the billboards, Dad. Okay, well, the Republican bill repealed the individual mandate on the Obamacare, which was fantastic, and the employer mandate. Those were huge, huge ones right there that we really, really had to have taken off. But what they did add in there, and they did this as a little caveat apparently, it keeps people from jumping into the market only when they need care by allowing the insurers to charge them up to a 30% higher premium for the entire year if they did not have previous health insurance coverage recently. So the insurance company still got their little way of being able to gouge people if they do decide they want to get insurance. But still, nevertheless, I'm so happy that repeal for the individual mandate and the employer mandate was taken out. That those were huge, huge aspects that will really help the economy if this actually goes into law.
Well, we hope it gets passed through the Senate. I mean, that's the whole thing. Real quick, couple things, Andy. So basically, Rockefeller stopped pushing for a prohibition after he got all the cars changed back to straight gasoline. And the same thing with the, you were talking about the shingles vaccine. Don't get those things. Well, actually, it's not the shingles vaccine. It's the chickenpox vaccine, which is causing shingles everywhere. So don't be getting that. And don't get the live shingles vaccine either, because that can also cause shingles. Oh, by the way, Miley Cyrus is debuting a new image. Apparently, the slut of the music industry, riding around her giant penises and everything else that she does, has decided that she's steering away from marijuana, alcohol, and nipple pasties, and now is rolling out a new sound that could help make people take her more seriously after she was dubbed one of the music's bad girls. I call her tramp. This garbage is what she was. The problem is she's losing her effectiveness with the young children, and they don't want her to do that. They want to try now because they've beta tested it. They see that people like they're talking about it, like on this show, like on the mainstream media, and parents don't want their children listening to Miley Cyrus anymore. So she's losing her effectiveness as a brain trainer, I guess you could say, with these young girls. And so now they've got to bring her back towards the middle so the girls come back to her and allow her to continue to slip stuff in because she pushed it too far. And quite frankly, guys, all of these people need to be completely eliminated out of your life, your girl's life, everybody else's life. If it's not Christian music, they don't even be listening to it. They don't even listen to Katy Perry or her. And what's the name of that one girl, Sharon, who sang who was country, and now she sings all Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. All these girls need to go away and never be heard from again by your children. They're really, really bad news. They're completely and totally controlled by the satanic New World Order music industry, and it's all about getting that frequency into your children. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Well, also, too, other news with Jared Kushner. It seems like the mainstream media is trying to do damage control now about his investments with Cadre in the real estate project. Remember, we talked about this like 3 months ago about how he had all these ties to Soros and Goldman Sachs and all these loans. Well, now the Wall Street Journal reported on this, I guess because there's been so much flack and so much on the news and alternative news that they decided they were going to report on it to try and shut it up now. They went on to say Jared Kushner failed to disclose his ownership of a real estate startup linked to Goldman Sachs and George Soros, according to the report Tuesday. Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and top advisor, didn't note on his government financial disclosure form that he is part owner of a real estate finance firm, Cadre, which matches investors with real estate projects. Cadre's other investors include Goldman Sachs and Soros. Soros and also PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, great group of individuals right there. Kushner also didn't disclose at least $1 billion in loans for more than 20 lenders, as well as various properties and companies he partly owned, according to the Journal. More than $300 million of the debt was backed by personal guarantees, the review found. Kushner previously discussed his cadre ties with the Office of Government Ethics and resigned from cadre's board, assigned his voting rights, and reduced his ownership share. Although Kushner's cadre ownership should have been disclosed, it technically did not appear to have violated disclosure rules by not publicly reporting his debts and guarantees, ethics expert told the paper. There you go. There's the clause that we're trying to say, oh, well, it's not a big deal now. Kushner, 36, agreed to divest more than 80 assets after he and his wife Ivanka Trump became top aides to the president. Kushner still retains more than 200 other assets worth at least $116 million. So that's pretty pretty wild that they're finally reporting on this, even though we hit it like 3 months ago. I guess they didn't have a choice anymore.
Well, we broke the story back in February on this show. You know, Chuck Ballin wrote a little bit about it, and then we broke the story, and then nobody else wanted to touch it. And so it's just one of those things that it's just gradually getting steam and momentum. And everybody realizes now what a bunch of criminals, mafia guys these guys are involved with. By the way, Jared Kushner's sister is offering U.S. visas to Chinese investors for families' real estate development. I mean, I don't even know, you can't even make this stuff up. Jared Kushner's sister offered wealthy investors in China a chance to score American visas if they invest in one of the family's properties, a deal that Watchdog saw as blatant bribery. Nicole Kushner Meyer took the stage at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Beijing on Saturday with a pitch to a room of about 100 investors, and they could get green cards if they poured money into the local square, $150 million Jersey City development from her family. The quid pro would come through the EB-5 program, which Trump said he was trying to get rid of. Apparently, he's going to keep it, which grants visas to foreigners to invest at least $500,000 in American development projects. Political politicians on both sides of the aisle have been criticized the program as the golden road to citizenship for the wealthy. According to multimedia reports from the event, parts of Meyer's talk, his sister touted her ties to President Trump through her brother, who was married to Trump's daughter Ivanka. I mean, unbelievable. Once on one of her slides as a sales pitch, pictured Trump,
she's doing a sales pitch, showing slides on the wall.
Pictured Trump and identified him as a key decision maker for the EP-5 program. She also made sure to mention her brother's role as a senior advisor to Trump. I mean, Austin, where do these people come from? Why do they think anything about this is okay? God.
I don't either, man. The whole thing's convoluted. It's very strange. I mean, I guess it's better than having Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton running the White House with Hillary. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Always remember, Bill and Hillary Clinton are good friends with the Kushners and good friends with Donald Trump.
So that's true.
They go to each other's weddings and everything else. And these guys, he donated her campaign. So what we have here is a group of people that interact in that circle of billionaires, and that's kind of like the Billionaire Boys and Girls Club, and they're the ones that determine world events and what's going on, all orchestrated through the Rothschild banking cartel. What a mess, Oz.
Yeah, it really is. Well, this is pretty wild over in Europe now. You guys have heard me talk, and I hate bringing it up all the time because it's so negative, but it's something that everybody really needs to be aware. This is happening, and it's starting to escalate rapidly over in Europe. The rapes are getting really severe over there. Nobody's wanting to talk about them. France, Sweden, Germany, and other European nations are basically on a path to legalize rapes committed by migrants because it's their culture. And I'll get back to that in a second. I watched a video today. It was an Italian news broadcast, and there was a female news anchor and the cameraman, and they were going out to the actual train station in Italy. Well, I think Rome is where it was, and they're showing all these guys literally lined up down the sides of the street with sleeping bags. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of people all the way down. And they're doing a report. It's all in Italian. And one of them tries to attack her. They start chasing them. These guys, the camera goes down, and the camera goes back up again. She's screaming at the top of her lungs, and apparently a cab driver pulls up and helps them get away. It was ridiculous. This is what's happening right now over there. But as I was saying with this, I keep seeing report after report after report of rapes of all these young girls over in Europe by these unbelievably militant migrant Muslims over in Europe, and it's getting bad, and it's getting worse as far as there's absolutely nothing being done about it. The judges are actually starting to rule in their favor, in the migrants' favors. It's getting insane. As shocking as it might seem, a recent number of rapists who have avoided severe punishment are suggesting now that there is a precedent already in place to decriminalize rapes by migrants because they don't culturally understand Western rape laws or the word no. Rapes by migrants are being significantly downplayed as cultural misunderstandings, and thus the victims are receiving no justice, meaning that de facto rape legalization is for the most part already in place. Just last week, a German judge acquitted a Turkish drug dealer of rape despite believing every word of the 23-year-old victim's accusation, because according to the judge, what the victim experienced was rape, but it could have been culturally considered wild sex in Turkey. The prosecutor admitted that the acquittal must have been a heavy blow to the victim. He goes, on the other hand, a conviction was not possible, get this, because there was no demonstrated intent of rape. Even more, the Turkish man claimed that because he would not have committed a rape because he had a mother and sister, the judge let him off. So they said, well, you raped her, the evidence shows you raped her, but you didn't really think you raped her, and you wouldn't have raped somebody because you said you have a mother and sister, so that's good enough for us. We'll completely acquit you of all charges and drop everything. This is insane, guys, where this is going now. The guy writes on here, Damian Black, one of the people involved with the court dealings, he said, the leftist narrative has indoctrinated German natives so strongly that their inclusive, multicultural respect and bureaucratic conformism is even able to warp what is beyond doubt rape into an offensive cultural question, a question both a legal authority and the sexually assaulted woman answered yes to. Nothing was hidden, nothing was concealed, all evidence was confirmed and understood, only to be completely disregarded as an ethnic misunderstanding. This isn't just limited to Germany either, guys. In April, or last month, I talked to you about the Muslim in Sweden who avoided jail for raping a teenager because he said he couldn't understand the word no. Another one over there in Sweden last month, they sentenced a Muslim migrant to 2 months in jail for being convicted of raping a 13-year-old girl and made him pay $2,800 in fine. 13-year-old girl, you raped her, and they said, okay, you're going to jail for 60 days, and you have to pay her $2,800 when you get out. That's it. This is a real rape culture that's taking place in Europe, but it's funny, don't expect American feminists to take much notice whatsoever. You hear that they're completely dead silent. All they want to do is talk about how their rights need to be given, that we have to pay for their abortions all the time, yet they don't say a single thing about the women getting raped in Europe by these incredibly migrant Muslims over there that nobody wants to address what's going on, Dad.
Well, the craziest thing is, you know, the Rothschild candidate just won the election this weekend in France, and the woman who was the staunch nationalist lost by a landslide, and I don't believe that at all. I really believe that the whole election was rigged because, you know, there's no way that's possible. I mean, you know, back in the Old Testament, when you had Pharaoh, and he was basically being plagued by all of these things with frogs and gnats and all the things that finally, until the death angel came and took the oldest of the boys. The craziest thing is this. You know, the Pharaoh would sit there and say, well, I'm not ready to give up yet. Just do another night with the frogs, another night with the, you know, with the boils, or another night with the gnats, or whatever they were doing back then. They'd always have these horrible plagues on him because of the fact that he was being hard-hearted and stubborn, and he wouldn't let the Israelis go. Now, what's interesting about this is, this whole thing's kind of crazy when you stop back and you sit and you look at it and you go, wait a minute, this is nuts. You know, we have all of these rapes going on in France right now, in Italy right now, in Germany right now, in Sweden right now, in Norway right now, by these migrants now who are saying that they can't be held accountable for the fact that they think that rape's okay. I mean, you know, they're not even trying to assimilate into the culture. And see, the sad part about all this, Austin, you nailed it so clearly. You said that the feminists in the United States aren't even talking about this. They're not even addressing this. You know, why don't they go over there and see what happens if they get raped, if everything is all okay. None of this is okay. The problem is France basically has had a Rothschild banker come in now and has won this election through fraud, as far as I'm concerned, and the people there are not massively protesting in droves against this. They made the mistake with Brexit, with Britain. They didn't rig the polls enough to allow Great Britain. They didn't think that they would get passed. They thought they could roll they could basically rig a few precincts like they do in the United States, and they couldn't get it done. In America, they had to unrig the precincts and let Hillary Clinton lose because she was slated to win, because they knew there was too much backlash coming in because of the Podesta Weaver emails. So what we have here in France now, we have the government saying, because WikiLeaks and a bunch of these other folks dumped a bunch of emails on the Rothschild candidate who won, and they were told that if the news organizations released this information or spread this information, that they would go to jail. They would go to jail for going out and telling the truth. So anyhow, I don't even believe for one second that this candidate won. I don't believe that at all, and I believe that this is just another, nail in the coffin of France and these countries that are being besieged by these rapists in Europe. Son, what do you think?
No, it's definitely becoming a significant issue. And like I said, nobody's wanting to talk about it. I mean, even in the report last week that I saw from Breitbart, it just goes to show you that none of these guys are coming over there to integrate. None of them are coming over here to do anything except try and get free handouts. They had a report that just got released in Italy. They said only 2.6%. 2.6 of the recorded 181,000 migrants that crossed the Mediterranean Sea and into Italy during 2016 were recognized as genuine refugees and awarded asylum from war. The rest were males, no women or children, almost all primarily from West Africa, who are seeking full economic benefits. Half of them have never even requested asylum whatsoever, but simply stayed as illegal immigrants disappearing into the underground criminal culture. Italians have had their property seized by the government and turned into migrant camps in some situations. This whole thing is going to start coming home to roost in about the next 4 to 5 years. It's already getting horrific right now, but what you're going to start seeing happen is all these people that have come over here, all these migrants that are pouring in here that are completely and totally there to take over the country with their Muslim rhetoric. That's all they're doing. They're going to continue to keep raping, pillaging, doing everything they want. They're going to start getting a lot of these European, Italian women pregnant. They're all going to start having kids, and they're all going to have this mixed Muslim race. And I'm not being mean. What I'm saying is exactly what's going to happen. And these guys are going to start a whole other subculture because they're going to be raised up as Muslims. They're going to be raised up with that Sharia law, Muslim nightmare ideology, and they're going to force it down the throats of everybody in Europe that's still alive. Once this starts to progress, it's going to grow like a cancer. It's going to get so big, so fast, and there's going to be no way to exterminate it whatsoever. That was the overall goal, in my opinion, from the beginning of this, was to allow Europe to be taken over again by the Muslims. That way they could completely ruin the culturism of Europe and let all these guys come in and completely take it over and basically destroy it from the inside within. Because always understand, guys, majority of Muslims are not here to assimilate. They do not want to integrate with Christian beliefs, Catholic beliefs, the Protestant beliefs. They don't want to integrate at all with that. They want to come in, they want to establish their dominant Sharia law, force everybody to be Muslim, and make everybody submit to what they have to say. That's why these guys are coming over here. That's why they don't care about seeking asylum. They're going to go in the undergrounds, just like they said right here. They're going to go get in all the black markets as far as the drug dealing, the fighting, the guns, the weapons, all that stuff. And the entire criminal enterprise in Europe is going to explode with these guys, and it's just going to get worse unless they can get these guys out of the system, Dad.
Well, they're trying to get rid of the Protestant work ethic, Catholics. They're trying to incorporate the Muslims with everybody's belief. I mean, this happened, I mentioned this before on the show a few weeks ago, this happened back in the 1400s, when the, at Alhambra in Spain, in 1492, when the Moors had to give the key to Queen Isabella, to the Alhambra, because they had to run the last Muslim strongholds taken care of and captured and thrown out. These guys don't want to integrate. They want to dominate. They want to take over cultures. That's what they're doing. And that's exactly why Soros and the boys have brought them in, because they don't want the relationship with Jesus Christ with the people on this planet anymore. They don't want to have that hindrance with what they want to do. But on a lighter note, two more alligators have battled themselves to death on a Florida golf course. This is interesting. Yeah, this is crazy. Especially during these baiting seasons. This happened over in Tampa at the Eagles golf course in Tampa Bay, Florida. It also happens down in Miami close to the Everglades a lot of times. There's no polite reptilian argument. It's full-on gator war. And these gators actually kill themselves on these courses sometimes. I mean, or kill one of them will die or both of them will die. That's exactly what happened here. And these golfers got to watch these two giant reptiles battle themselves to death and claw each other to death or bite each other to death. I mean, these are big animals. We have little lizards at the house. I mean, just little lizards. You know, they're like 4 to 6 inches long, maybe sometimes 8 inches long with the bigger ones. And you'll see them every once in a while on the screen, on the outside screen room. They'll jump on each other and they'll bite each other and they're flipping around and flailing and these males are having at each other. This is the same thing you're seeing with animals that are 5 to 6 meters long. Yes, I said that correctly. 5 to 6 meters. Of course, there's some of them are smaller than that, but remember, they're protected as a species in Florida and you have to have a permit to hunt them. And these things are giant. They're like, we saw one just the other day. We had a video of that at a park here right down the street from our house a few miles away that I think it was 6 meters long. And these things are huge. They're monstrous animals. They can weigh 2,000-3,000 pounds. It's like having dinosaurs in your backyard. So when these things grab each other and start biting and chewing and spitting and kicking and clawing, it must be something to watch. I'd actually like to see a couple of these big boys have at each other. Quite frankly, I can't stand them. That's one thing I wish that Florida would get rid of as far as in the residential lakes. They're unbelievably dangerous, especially for young children and pets. And sometimes they'll actually come out of the water and chase people down and grab them. I mean, human beings and pull them back out into the water. That happened a few years ago with 3 or 4 gator attacks in just less than 3 or 4 months here in Southern Florida. And quite frankly, the news media in our area doesn't like promoting or talking about that because it's bad for tourism. Remember a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, Austin, that little kid was eaten by that gator over at Disney World. The tourists, they think these things are cool. These things are not cool. You got giant reptiles that you can't reason with, that you can't train to operate by instinct. It's like having a python, a Burmese python that's, 3 or 4 meters long in your house. You got to be thinking through, why am I doing this? Because they see your children, they see your pets, they see everything small as a snack. They don't see this thing as a living human being. They don't care because that's not how these things operate. They got pea-sized brains, and they're very difficult to kill. And once you have an infestation of these pythons like we have down in the Everglades now, they have to have roundups down there to kill pythons. And it's very difficult because these things sleep in the water, go in the water, and they don't surface very often. And they're very difficult to catch. Once these animals get into things like the Everglades or local waterways here in Florida, they kill the indigenous species, and they take over everything. That's why one reason the alligators are probably good down there in the Everglades to go after the pythons. In fact, I saw one of those one time when a python tried to eat a gator, and the gator clawed itself out of the python's gut. I mean, crazy stuff happens down here in Florida, you guys. So beware with your children when you bring them to the Florida waterway. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, man, I always warn people about that when they come down here. I've talked to people before that have been on vacation, and they think it's a joke. When that happened last year, that was unbelievably sad with that kid. He was playing in, like, knee-deep water, and that gator came out and grabbed him. His dad tried to fight him off, and he couldn't do it, man. The kid ended up dying. And Disney acted like, oh, yeah, I can't believe this happened. What a rarity. Man, we live in Florida, dude. There's gators everywhere. Stop acting like it was a rarity. They try and eat things and people and dogs and other animals all the time. Not a rarity. This is very common down here. I don't care about tourism at all. I warn people about it. If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what's in the water, if you don't have a pistol with you, or you're usually pretty skilled with jumping and fighting gators, you really need to make sure you know what you're doing when you go down to the water in Florida, especially in some of these muck waters. Now, a lot of the springs down here, like Jenny Springs and some stuff like that, that's usually not an issue. You can see down 25, 30 feet in the springs. That's incredible. There's usually rarely any gators in that stuff at all, usually enough people, so it's not a problem. But you start going out in some of these lakes that are swamp, cypress knuckles everywhere, that's what gators love. Stay out of that stuff unless you're actively trying to hunt gators. There's no reason to go swimming in it whatsoever. Stick to the swimming pools if you want, or go to the springs. It's much, much safer.
Well, that's true also. I remember a few years ago you actually had a permit to hunt a gator, and you got to chewing up close and personal with your .45 right between the eyes. I mean, you were literally a meter away from him trying to pull him in the boat, and he's trying to flip the boat and eat the people in the boat. So you took care of it with a .45 instantaneously. So it's one of those things. It's just, you know, if you're going to be doing that and going out and hunting, it's one thing. Otherwise, it's just not something you need to be doing. Oh, by the way, as part of the budget deal last week that was prevented a government shutdown last week, the Food and Drug Administration will now fund a new campaign to combat what they perceive as the misinformation about GMOs in our food. It's going to be a full-blown promotion of genetically modified organisms in our food. The budget deal gave the FDA $3 million to provide a consumer outreach and education regarding agricultural biotechnology, which includes information on genetically engineered food. They supposedly used the money to try to show the positive side effects of GMOs, which make up 80% of the corn and soybean crops planted in the United States, including their environmental, nutritional, food safety, economic, and humanitarian impacts. In April of last year, more than 50 food industry groups signed a letter expressing their support for the proposed campaign, hoping that it would better inform the public about the application of biotechnology to food and agricultural production, arguing that all major scientific bodies, which is, by the way, a lie, including all federal science health agencies, have said that genetically engineered foods are safe. There was plenty of pushback against the campaign before this budget passed, and State Representative Nita M. Lordy of New York argued that a community outreach program of this kind would be nothing more than a state-funded propaganda campaign for the GMO industry. It is still unclear what kind of educational program the FDA are planning to unleash or even when they will launch, but the parameters are broad for what they're allowed to do. That all required to do is collaborate with the Department of Agriculture and distribute science-based educational information to the public. Corporations have poured money into universities, which, by the way, skewed the results of their studies for decades. But as the debate over bioengineered food has escalated to a billion-dollar food industry war, with companies like Monsanto scoring off against major organic firms like Stonyfield Farm, the yogurt company, both sides have aggressively recruited academic researchers, emails obtained through open records have shown. The emails provide a rare look into the strategy and tactics of the lobbying campaigns that have transformed ivory tower elites into powerful players. There you go. The use of both sides of third-party scientists and their supposedly unbiased research helps explain why the American public is often confused as it processes the conflicting information. I'm not going to read the rest of this to you because you already know what it's going to say, but here's what I will say is this. I finally realized back in the 80s or 90s, whatever that happened before Congress, when the tobacco industry had their debut in front of congressional hearings as to the addictive nature of nicotine and the cancer-causing side effects of cigarette smoking. And I heard multiple top research scientists from prestigious universities, some of the top Ivy League schools, get on national TV, being aired on national TV with these congressional hearings, and say under oath, guys, listen to me, that nicotine is not addictive. I mean, when that happened, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. These are like bought and paid for shills for the educational department of these universities, and how in the world can a person with a PhD in anything as far as in science say that nicotine is not addictive? I mean, it's one of the most addictive substances on the planet. It's just a legally addictive substance, and also the side effects of the cigarettes and all the cancer. They were saying the cigarettes did not cause cancer, and all these poisons added as they put the cigarettes did not cause addiction or cancer. I mean, but these top scientists often went right in there and said everything that we were being taught about how bad this stuff was a lie, and this stuff is actually good for you. I mean, unbelievable. Son, what do you think?
Yeah, dude. It's like the story of the FDA and all these guys, man. I mean, it seems like every time you start doing any research, you realize they're all lying. I mean, it's kind of ironic, not in a funny way at all, but that these guys were technically supposed to be placed in here with these alphabet agencies to protect the public, to keep us from being exposed to compounds and toxins that are unhealthy and we shouldn't have. And it's like, it's almost the complete opposite. These guys are just there for the highest bidder. Whoever wants to give them the most money, whoever wants to throw them the most cash, whoever wants to scratch their back the most, then they're willing to give them a free pass on just about anything. It's pretty bizarre. Also, in other news, though, this is pretty wild. You can't expect much of anything positive about this current Pope Francis. He's probably one of the most globalist popes I think we've ever seen. the other day had harsh words to describe libertarians last week, saying they deny the value of common good in favor of radical selfishness, where only the individual matters. Francis said that libertarianism, which is so fashionable today, is a more radical form of the individualism that asserts only the individual gives value to things and to interpersonal relationships. He said on there that the idea of self-causation is necessary to ground freedom and individual responsibility. Libertarianism, he concluded, is an anti-social radicalization of individualism, which leads to the conclusion that everyone has the right to extend themselves as far as his abilities allow him, even at the cost of exclusion and marginalization of a more vulnerable majority. This guy is a nutbag. All he wants to do is tell us we need to have a one-world religion and that how everybody can come to Jesus through every religion they want, how libertarian's bad, how we need to welcome the migrants in and be happy when they rape us. I don't know what this guy's been given as far as his medication cocktail from the globalists, but it's working incredibly good for him because they have him dialed in perfectly to spew out this globalist propaganda on a regular basis, it seems like. But I thought I'd just throw that out there, Dad, because this guy's a nutbag.
Operation Condor, buddy. That's when they brought him in back in, way back into the 60s. Operation Condor was burning some parishioners down there in Buenos Aires, and basically they just disappeared. Whenever they say anything against the government or against the Catholic Church, they would turn them in, and the people would come in the middle of the night and take them out and drop them out of the back of an airplane, you know, 100 miles offshore. I mean, this is what the guy did. I mean, who he is. I mean, this guy's a nut. I mean, now he's in one of the biggest offices in the world, you know, with over a billion Catholics still following what he says. And, it's kind of crazy. I'm not knocking Catholics. I tell you guys, you just have to ask yourself a question. I mean, how bad does it have to get with up to 50% of the people in the priesthood, homosexuals and pedophiles, jumping on these little boys like this, and this Pope saying all of this crazy stuff? How bad does it have to get before you start to realize just maybe you need to change your religion as far as your, not your faith, but the church you go to? And I'm going to say this very clearly to everybody. If you leave the Catholic Church, or you leave the Lutheran Church, or you leave the Methodist Church, or you leave the Presbyterian Church, and you go to another Protestant church, and they're still worshiping Jesus and glorifying His name, you're not going to be apostate. That's not even possible. But the Catholic Church kind of teaches that, and it's not true. And then they say that if you don't do what they tell you to do, they can excommunicate you, which means throw you out and damn you to hell. Where the heck do they find this stuff in the Bible? I haven't seen any of this stuff in the Bible. You know, they got to just make this stuff up to go, because remember, they ruled the planet for 1,000 years. So if you're a good Catholic and you love Jesus, my hat's off to you. But ask yourself a simple question. Are you continuing to give to this organization that promotes this kind of crazy nonsense, including not cleaning up their own act with all these pedophiles that are running around? It's a real mess. By the way, the cord-cutting spikes are fivefold now in cable TV, worst quarter ever. The first quarter of this year showed that basically cable providers lost 762,000 paid subscribers over the first 3 months of this year. Five times more than they lost during the same period last year. To make matters worse, quarter one has historically been a strong season for TV. For the better part of 15 years, pundits have predicted that cord cutting was the future. And so this is what's going on. Cable's day of reckoning has come, with all the major cable and satellite companies having reported their quarterly numbers. Analysts say they are abysmal. What do you think, Austin?
I think it's great. I think cable and TV, it means less people are watching TV and more people are getting, watching other venues. I mean, there's a lot of different apps and stuff you can do now if you want to watch a movie. I know there's that Amazon Fire Stick. Granted, I'm not giving Amazon anything. I really don't like Amazon at all. But there's a lot of other options that can save people a lot of money. This whole paying $40, $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100, $200 a month to have cable in a couple boxes is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. There's no reason to be paying this kind of stuff. This is the same thing why we're seeing the massive exodus from Verizon right now, and everybody's going with these other servers and carriers, because you can get full cell phone coverage, unlimited everything, for like $30, $40 a month from all these other carriers, and it's pretty doggone good service still. The same thing with cable. There's a lot of other options. You know, I remember Verizon, when I first had Verizon, before I dumped them, I had one plan, myself on the plan. I got like 1,000 minutes or something, so many texts, and I was paying like $140 a month. It was outlandish. And I mean, I was almost always going over my minutes as far as if I was working out of town. And I finally dump on this. I went with Metro. I ended up switching over to Metro for $35 a month. Now I use T-Mobile. The days of paying these just astronomical amounts of money is done. People aren't doing it anymore. People are tightening up their belts. They're not wasting their money on stuff they don't need. And I'm glad to see that in some aspects as far as in a lot of these areas, because spending I've seen people's cable bills before. I mean, some of them range up $150, $200 a month just for cable and internet. I mean, that's a nice car payment in some instances. I mean, so people are just tired of wasting money like that. And quite frankly, almost everything on TV now, and I'll tell you another reason why, because I've noticed more people have said this to me. Granted, I've always been vocal about it, but I've noticed more people now calling this out. Everybody's sick of all the commercials, specifically the pharmaceutical drug commercials. You can't watch a single show on television anymore and not get hit with a commercial for some type of stupid pharmaceutical drug that's brand new that you need to take because you got this disorder and you need to check with your doctor because it might cause blindness, sudden death, seizures, headaches, memory loss, all this stuff. And they've gotten so out of control with the pharmaceutical advertisement on television, I wish they would ban it. The only way you need to find out about pharmaceuticals is through your doctor, your pharmacist. This whole throwing on 2, 3, 4, 5 pharmaceutical ads every single commercial break is out of control. That's why I hardly ever watch TV anymore, but I've even had more people now that I've talked to say, yeah, I've noticed that too. Every time you watch something now, it's like 5 minutes a show, 5 minutes a commercial. There's always at least one pharmaceutical commercial during that 5 minute break. So I think that's what's doing a lot of it, that people are sick of watching it when you can get other stuff online and on TV for free a lot of times and not have to sit there and watch commercials at all.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, the sad part about it is I mute the commercials. Let me tell you why I mute the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, and this is very important for your children, too, and we taught our kids to do this from a very early age. In fact, we told them very specifically, if you want yourself to be brainwashed and brain-trained by these commercials, it's not okay with us. And so if you're not going to mute the commercials, you need to go ahead and turn the TV off. And I've walked into the room so many times with the kids, and they'll listen to a commercial, and I walk in there, click, TV goes off, and that's the end of it. Now, we monitor the TV usage of our children. We do a lot. We don't let them just watch whatever they want to watch. In fact, we don't have any premium channels. We don't do anything like that because the premium channels are something that just brings sin into the house is all that does. You know, you get all these I'm not going to talk about it. It's just nasty. And so what we don't allow them to do that. You say, they're going to see it in the real world anyhow. Well, they will. They'll see it in the real world. They're 15, 16, 17 years old or whatever. They get a driver's license. At least they'll be older than 4, 5, 6, or 7 years old, and their brain won't be as easy to train. Remember, guys, when you're 15, 16 years old, your brain's still developing as quickly as a baby. I mean, you're still developing that many connections every single day. That's why it's really important to do the best you can, if you are that age, not to allow these globalists to put these ideas into your head. That's why they try for these college kids at such a young age, and also the middle schoolers at such a young age, and now they're trying to bring and tell little children that are 3 and 4 years old that transsexualism is okay, and your sex can be fluid. This is what they're teaching at Harvard now, that you can be a boy one day, a girl the next day, a boy the next day, the girl the next day. I mean, there's some sick, pretty perverted people out there telling your children this, and they want to get them as young as they possibly can because it's easier to train that developing brain. So it's so important that if you're allowing your children to watch TV, that you tell them to mute the commercials and only allow them to watch certain channels. One of the channels that was always forbidden on my TV list was the Disney Channel. I told them, absolutely not. You may not watch the Disney Channel. It's a huge pro-gay channel. Remember, and Michael Eisner bragged about this, approximately 50% of all of the people who work at the Magic Kingdom and Disney World here in Orlando are gay. And they brag about it like it's some kind of badge of honor. And guys, I'm not picking on these gays. I don't care what they do. I'm just saying I don't need to see two guys holding hands and kissing when I'm at Disney World with my young children. Or if you get stuck there on gay day, which my kids went there with a friend one time and got stuck on gay day, and then all these militant gays are running around wearing their shirts, holding hands, kissing each other. This sends a lot of really weird mixed signals to a very young mind at a very young age. That's something we don't need to do anymore. These things are really messing up the youth, especially when you throw in a bunch of bisphenol A, you throw in a bunch of female growth hormones like the stuff that's in soybeans and all these other things that people do. You need to learn that these things are things that we need to avoid and we need to tell our children to avoid and make sure they mute the commercials. Better yet, it's going to be wild. Dump the cable. Be done with this. Get rid of it. Dump the cable. Go to internet-based TV. Monitor what they watch. And you'll save a bunch of money doing that, too. The only really thing I ever watch on the mainstream cable any longer that I have is the History Channel. Sharon jokes about it. She calls it the Nazi channel. I'm like, well, it does talk about Hitler a lot, but it's the History Channel. And it's just one of those deals that, you know, we do talk, you know, I do talk about history, but a lot of that stuff is so skewed now and not true. It's just, it's a joke. But quite frankly, if I had got, if I got rid of my cable, it's kind of like a package with my internet. It kind of was like extra 15, 20 bucks a month. So it wasn't that big of a deal. If I was having to pay a bunch of money for it, I'd turn it off, Austin, because I very rarely ever watch TV. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly right. It's just a waste of money, in my opinion. So it's not something anybody needs to waste their money on at all. But also, guys, just want to make sure you check out the website on here. The Immune Support DF, again, is still on sale. Product of the week. And, Dad, we talked about the coupon code on Friday with the Hagman. That's Doug5. That's still active till this Wednesday, I think we did it too, right?
That's absolutely correct. And, guys, thank you so much for listening today. And I appreciate you guys. I love you. Thank you so much. And, Austin, I'll need you to write up the summary for today's show because my internet is down up here. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thanks on Friday night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Oz.
Absolutely, bud. Thanks. Glad you could be on. But, yeah, the immune support's good. That's a great product. That's on sale. Check out the other products, too. Vote on them. There's the benfotiamine, the CoQ10, the folate, the magnesium sports oil, and the tribulus. Tribulus one's a very popular one. So go vote which one you want. That'll be voting, changing over Wednesday at midnight. So you can check that out and vote on it. But, yeah, Doug5, D-O-U-G-5, that'll be 5% off. All regular-priced items will be good till Wednesday as well. We guys, we appreciate everything. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.